Balogun has a step on Tricotti. Balogun to the byline. Balogun into the middle. Dead! It's the United States once again on the board early. Ricardo Pepi was in. Was it perhaps last off the defender? Who cares? It's 1-0 U.S.
Look, you don't have to be a diehard soccer fan to love what's going on with this U.S. men's national team right now in the World Cup. Just embrace the moment. What else we got going on, right? Maybe you're not even into soccer. Maybe you make fun of soccer. Give it a chance. Give it a little bit of a chance. This is fun. Nick Ashew on The Fan. I'm at Nick Ashew on all the socials. It's been fun. That's it. It's that simple. Like, it's nothing profound. It's nothing that's going to be deep. And I'm not going to pretend, as I've said before, and every other show during the week, that I'm not going to pretend to be a soccer expert. I grew up playing soccer. But in terms of Premier League, even the MLS, any of this other stuff, I don't consume it that much. But I do love the game, and I love big events, and I will fully admit that I'm somebody that's helicoptering in and wants to be a part of it. And this is okay. Like, these big events that we have, the Olympics, the World Cup, you know, World Baseball Classic, maybe College World Series for you, which is, you know, the championship round, I guess, the first championship game or first of the series is going on later today. If you want to jump in on that stuff, cool. The one thing that's always driven me nuts about, like, I don't want to say niche sports or niche. I'm still never really decided whether I want to say niche or niche, and I don't know. So I kind of just say both. Just bear with me. It's like Thibodeau or Thibodeau. Just kind of say both sometimes. One thing that's always bothered me about sports that, yeah, in the U.S., soccer is not at the top of the depth chart, right? We know that. It's football, our football. It's basketball. It's baseball. It's hockey. Like, well, depending on the ratings in the sport, you could argue some of those other ones there. But we know that, like, football's first. The NFL's first, and we just accept that, right? But it is a sport that around the world is the most popular sport in the world. But what I've never understood is fan bases of a sport, like if you're a diehard soccer fan or you're a diehard hockey fan, don't you want your sport to grow? And listen, hockey's lower on that depth chart. We know that. But it is a passionate fan base that loves it. And just like soccer, it's similar, where you want your sport to grow, right? You want your league to grow. You want the events to be big and everybody to be involved with it. It's what brings everybody together. That's the whole goal. Why do we care if somebody's not a diehard? Like, I'm not one of those people that's going to sit here and get in front of a camera, get on a microphone, and sit here and be like, well, you know, let me tell you, let me break down that second half of the 76th minute. I'm not going to do that. And I grew up playing the game. I understand it. But I'm not going to be that guy, and I'm not going to pretend. But, like, that's the whole point of this. Like, it's one thing if you're sitting here doing what we do and you don't know the NFL. Like, sorry, you probably should go focus on a podcast for something else or whatever. But you got to be able to just allow people to enjoy your sport. And there's a lot that do. But you do see some of this, like, oh, yeah, everybody now loves Team USA. Yeah, people want to jump on the bandwagon a little bit. Just let them. Like, after the U.S. won yesterday, you got 70,000 fans at Seattle Stadium, which we'll just call it Seattle Stadium because that's what we have to do. They're all, I mean, everybody's together. It's this big moment. You see these celebrations. And, you know, we saw the Knicks parade and we saw the, you know, Knicks fans in New York and all that, everybody coming together for that. That's what's like. We've seen so much of that recently. That's the real, like, depth of sports. That's the cool part about sports. And look, we all live in the moment. We have our moments where the Commanders lose and we're pissed off and we got to rant about it and vent about it. And that's part of fandom. But there's also this side of this, too. And look, at this point, winning a, you know, going into the knockout round and winning a game for the U.S. after their third game in the group stage, is that a successful World Cup at this point, or is it going farther? Because now people are talking like, oh man, this team could make some real noise. I'm not ready to buy into that totally yet because I think we got to be careful in that sense. If you're really expecting, this team's still what, like 35-1 to win the World Cup? Like, let's not get crazy here, okay? We got some really good teams that are out there, you know? But it doesn't mean that we haven't had a improved U.S. men's soccer program that's there. On the women's side, they've already won a World Cup. Like, we know that. We've seen it. Like, they are a powerhouse. The men, it's not there. It can be reasonable at times. It can be okay. It can be middle of the pack. But this is the best we've really felt about a team that is in the World Cup on the men's side of things in a really, really, really long time. And it's great that it's here partially in the U.S. It's great that we've got fans from all around the world that are a part of this, that are coming here and experiencing the U.S. I can't get enough of those, by the way. I can't get enough of these videos of fans coming from Europe or wherever, and they're just in awe at their experiences in the U.S. It's so much fun. Like, their first experience eating ribs. Really? All-you-can-eat buffets. Free drink refills. Chips and salsa until you can't eat any more chips and salsa anymore. And it's the shock of, like, wait, what? It just comes with the table?
The drive-thrus are one, too. They don't really have drive-thrus at other places.
You're right. They don't have drive-thrus at all. And, like, everybody, Metal Chris, makes... Listen, I get it. We got junk food in this country, too, but there's obviously really good food. It's just you got to find it, and it's a little bit different, and there's stuff that's... I'm not going to go deep into the stuff that's in our food versus their food. That's for another show, probably a podcast versus this. But if you're here and you're just like, look, I just want to experience American food. I don't care what it does to my to my stomach and my digestive system. Enjoy it. And anything else. I saw this couple, and they were like in, you know, they're down. Actually, there's a bunch of these, too. Like, Australians in Florida, like, these beaches are as good as what we have in Australia. Yeah. Florida gets a bad rap, and it gets made fun of, and sometimes rightfully so. And then other times you go, wow, Florida's beautiful. This is, it's kind of eye-opening for a lot of people here. And it's, I am a little concerned, again, about some of their... You know, their digestive tract, and maybe you're not used to eating some of this food. It might take you for a shock. By the way, I figured this out this morning on my Westwood One show. We figured out what we're going to call it. So when you go to a country that, you know, you can't drink the water, right? Don't drink it. You're not used to it. There's just things in there that are, your body's not used to. Don't touch it. That's called Montezuma's Revenge with what it does to you. Well, we're now going to call this America's Revenge. For if you come over to the U.S. and eat the food and it does not agree with you and it comes out the other end fast, which, by the way, happens to people that are used to it as well, it's called America's Revenge. I have created the term. I don't know if we're going to get it
we
to
call
stick,
it Remembering
though.
The Alamo?
We can call it Remembering the Alamo, too, if you want. I think more than one nickname is good. I want to push America's Revenge just because we're keeping the M part of this together. But, like, I can't get enough of these videos of people that are just like, this is amazing here. And by the way, you know what else is cool? People that are like, hey, the news makes everything seem really bad, and it's really not as bad as the news makes it sound. That's refreshing to see people say that. I'm all for all of this. And it gets to this point where you realize, maybe things aren't as bad as I thought they were. Maybe sports bring people together a little bit. Because, like, no one's mad that Scotland fans were taking over Boston. They love it. It's amazing. They're drinking bars dry. They're running out of beer for them. That's awesome, as long as you don't do anything stupid. As long as you have that, it's fine. Like, that's what these big world events bring to the table and create. And everybody gets involved, and it's fun, and it's exciting. And, I love it. The row your boat thing, is that Switzerland? Sweden? Who is that? Metal Chris, do you know who that is?
I think it's Switzerland because they're wearing red, right?
Yeah, they're wearing red.
Yeah,
so it's
got to be Switzerland.
Okay, so they're doing the road.
There's a metal band that does that too.
Is there? Of course.
Yeah, because they're like Viking metal stuff, and they get everyone in the crowd to sit down and start doing that.
That's so amazing. Dumb, but I don't even know the origin of this, but it looks badass when they do it.
It's yeah. I don't. I mean, it looks like a crew thing to me, right? Like
yes.
But I don't know the origin. I don't know.
Is it from ancient Viking ships or something? Is that the
Well, that's
origin?
What, like, the band, like, they, you know, they have songs about Vikings, and so I have no idea if that's why they do it in Switzerland. I don't...
Might be.
Switzerland's not really Viking territory.
Does this metal band that you're referencing have hats that have horns on them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure you could buy that, yeah. They're very Rinfest adjacent. they're called Amon Amarth. The last time they played the casino here a couple months ago, so...
Look, there's always a metal reference with you, and I love it. It spans far beyond, I think, where anybody would ever expect.
No, they're a pretty well-known band. Like, they tour the whole world and stuff. They're not just some, like, oh, yeah, they play little clubs. Like, no. They've played Jiffy Lube Live and stuff before. Like, they play
big
spaces.
So. You know the obscure bands, and you know the big bands.
Oh, yeah.
I expect nothing less from you on that.
They actually played Red Rocks a few years ago, and I kind of wanted to go out and see them out there, because I'd be like, that'd be awesome to see a metal band play Red Rocks. So.
That actually would. That's a cool venue. That's definitely a cool venue. But, yeah, just you're seeing all of this stuff, and it's just feeding the ecosystem of social media right now, and I'm for it. And by the way, the games are actually good too, you know. But again, you don't have to be like a hardcore soccer fan to just enjoy this. Like, you know what's at stake, you know that it's a massive tournament, and you could compare it to something like March Madness, where you don't have to be a college basketball fan, but what do a lot of people do? They have a bracket, maybe 5, maybe 10, whatever it is. You just get in. You're like, I'm going to get in on this. It's a big event that everybody comes together with. So I think that's what makes this different than so many other things, is it just becomes something that's an event. And it's why college football wants to expand their, you know, the college football playoff, right? Like, they want to have more teams. They want it to stretch out longer. You want it to feel like an event. We are an events-driven society. Is it big? Can I be a part of it? I don't want FOMO. Nobody wants FOMO. If you give somebody FOMO, they're going to want in with whatever it is. And we're seeing that with this. And I'll say this, if it's, you know, the Wizards start winning next year and it's no longer about tanking, I know there's a lot of hype around the Wizards right now and a lot of excitement, but, you know, you finish the draft, maybe have an active offseason on top of that, kind of rework this roster a little bit more, people are going to have FOMO and want to be in on the Wizards again. Look, DC's a hoops town. But there's going to be a national push as well, and a national level of like this next up-and-coming young team in the Wizards that has Darren Peterson or A.J. DeBonta, whoever it is they draft number one overall, you're going to start seeing that Wizards bandwagon grow. You're going to start to see that get a little bit better. Did you send me a link to this band right now? Is that what you just did?
I might have done that, yeah.
Of course you did. Within 2 seconds, the band, is it the Row Your Boat
video? You can see, it's just live footage of the dudes doing it.
And listen, that's again, they make it cool, so I'm in on it. I did not expect you to get that fast, but all of a sudden I look and I'm like, oh, Metal Chris has just sent me a video of the Row Your Boat for this metal band. So I would expect, then again, I expect nothing less from you.
I thought you'd look at it in the break.
No, it just popped up on my phone and I got distracted. Look, man, you know how I am on these weekend shows. When I'm popping up here on a Saturday, we're gonna roll with it, man. We're just going to have fun. I got the windows open in the house. We're just going to go. We're just going to go and see what happens. Whatever crosses my mind is kind of where it goes. Just let loose. You know, I call it roostering. You know, when Chris Russell just loses his mind and rambles and he prides himself on that, I'm like, I'm going to try that sometime. Saturday shows, Sunday shows for me, might get a little loose, a little free sometimes, you know? But I will say, though, that going back to the Wizards, as I got distracted, squirrel, yeah, there is a lot of love for this Wizards team and a lot of excitement. And that's, you know, there's going to be a bandwagon that's there. But don't be that person that's like, I've been a Wizards fan forever and I suffer. You're not allowed to be. Like, okay, so what? Like, let people, and in the end, it makes the franchise more successful. It makes it more fun. And, like, you know what's really cool? Here's what's really cool. To watch the Wizards win games, have a successful season, and, like, go to a bar, restaurant or something and see the games on and people actually caring about it. That's great. So there's going to be more of that, a lot more of that moving forward. Now, again, we sit with a ton of questions when it comes to the Wizards. I'm seeing something, though, speaking of bandwagons. I'm seeing some mock drafts starting to put Darren Peterson number one overall. Seeing a lot more of this moving forward. I just want to say that I've been saying for weeks, don't count out Darren Peterson number one. This is not smokescreen. This is a legit consideration by the team, and we're starting to get more of that now. We're starting to get a better idea of, like, oh, maybe this actually is a real thing. Now, granted, Michael Winger, Will Dawkins have done a really good job of keeping everything close to the vest, as they should. You don't need to let people know what you're doing. Keep them guessing. Maybe you'll get a great trade offer, and you get that Godfather offer that they've talked about, and that's what ends up, you know, having them trade down a spot and getting a ton more assets, which you should consider. You should consider everything. Like, the Wizards are in a spot where it shouldn't be about, like, best fit for the roster and who they draft. It's best player. The guy that you think is going to give you the most as the franchise player, because that's what it is. You are going to be, if you're A.J. DeBonta, Darren Peterson, you are going to be the face of the Wizards like that from day one. The minute you're drafted, you are now the franchise player. You are the face of the player. You are the Jaden Daniels of the Wizards. That's how this works. And it's one of the reasons why in all of these, you know, interviews that have happened, because, right, you have to sit and talk to the players and get to know them, and it's really important. And Michael Winger has talked about that in interviews, but it's like, look, you know, we've gotten to a point where, you know, they have to figure out more than just what you can do on the court, but also what you're going to be in terms of the face of the franchise and interacting with fans and being a part of the community and events. And, like, that matters. That's part of the responsibility you're going to have with a team that's trying to flip it, turn things around, and get better. And they're at that point now where it's down to those two. We know that. But it's more than just, hey, this guy can get you 25 a game. It's also, what kind of competitor are they? What type of leader are they going to be? What type of, you know, franchise player are they going to be? Whatever the case is, like, all of that. That's the type of stuff you've also got to take in consideration there, too. Because you know what you want if you're the Wizards? You want people jumping on the bandwagon like people are right now for the U.S. men's national team in the World Cup. I mean, really. Because bandwagon fans start off as bandwagon, and then they want to stick around. It's okay. Bring people in and show them you got a good product. People don't want to come into dysfunction. It's hard to adopt like fandom to a team that's a complete mess, right? Like, that was the whole thing with Dan Snyder Redskins there. It was like, they're going to lose fans. They're also not going to gain new fans because nobody's like, hey, I want to suffer. I want to actively suffer. Unless you're raised a fan of that team and you're kind of just like inundated with it and it sucks and it happens. But that's what the Wizards want. You want fans jumping on the bandwagon and then you want them to stay. Just like the U.S. men's national team. 800-636-1067 if you want to jump on. We're going to be a little loose today, you know? There's a lot going on, but it's kind of a casual Saturday. NBA season's done. Draft's coming up next week. Could it be Darren Peterson? Could it be A.J. Tabonsa? More and more smells starting to tell us it might be Darren Peterson to the Wizards after all. Nick Ashew, the fan and the team. There's more and more of a groundswell for Darren Peterson of the Wizards, number one overall. Starting to see it. Been talking about this for weeks. Do not count out Darren Peterson as a true potential number one overall pick for the Wizards. Not trading down, but actually being the guy they take number one overall. Nick Ashew on the fan, at Nick Ashew on all the socials. Once the medicals came back, and that was kind of the last bow you needed to tie on sort of his draft package, if you will. I don't know if that's the right phrasing there. We might just move on from that, but it's like a lot of teams just realize, oh yeah, okay, so it really isn't going to be a thing from the cramping. And you know, that was honestly viewed as a college thing, that if it doesn't affect the NBA, no one cares. And here's the thing, I'm trying to think of the best way to put this, because this is the way it's viewed behind the scenes. If a guy still shows that he's truly competitive, but at times maybe in college there was a focus on the next level, it can be overlooked by teams. But that was not the case with Darren Peterson, right? Like, some guys were like, all right, you know, he didn't play a ton of games in college. Like, Kyrie Irving played, what, 11 games? I know he was hurt at Duke, but like, still went number one overall, still has had a great career. We could say what we want there. I know Kyrie Irving is a lightning rod, but I'm just saying, Kyrie Irving is still an all-time great player in the NBA, period. So you can look at sometimes what happens in college for certain players, and it doesn't tell you the full picture of who they are. Like, for example, most of Darren Peterson and what you saw at Kansas is not the real Darren Peterson, from the player, you know, playing out of position at times, to not having his level of explosiveness the entire time, to obviously dealing with the cramping and all the things that were going on. The medicals have been clear. And that was not that long ago. And it's when everything started to become a little bit more about not just Tabonsa number one, but hey, maybe Darren Peterson on top of that. And Darren Peterson has a ton of talent. Darren Peterson is as competitive as anybody is out there. And this is from people that have, you know, had these interviews, that have talked to other people that have coached him. And A.J. Tabonsa and Darren Peterson have played together with like Team USA. And there has been a clear favorite in terms of who has more of that alpha in him, and it's Darren Peterson. And you're starting to see more and more of this groundswell now to maybe he is the number one overall pick. Because I've had this conversation with a lot of people, and it's like, what, when people talk about a risk with Darren Peterson, if we've eliminated the medicals and that's all clear, what's the risk? The risk really is just if A.J. Tabonsa just has a better career and you pass on him. But a lot of that's public perception, and that's what the Wizards have to decide. Michael Winger, Will Dawkins have to decide whether they're willing to take that PR risk, if you will, by drafting a Darren Peterson over A.J. Tabonsa with the belief that Peterson is going to have the better career, the higher ceiling, the better defensive player, the better shooter as their careers go on. Like, those are the types of things that you're going to have to think about. Those are the types of things that you're going to have to weigh. And then you also have these interviews and conversations with somebody like him, right? Darren Peterson has said he was surprised. His first interview with the Wizards was more about him as a competitor, him as a person, not him as the player on the court as much. There's a reason why they're having these conversations. And Michael Winger's been, you know, said this in interviews. Like, it's the type of person, the type of leader, the type of competitor that these guys are, too. That really matters to this team. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Sean in Falls Church. What's up, Sean?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciated listening to you and she and the other guys yesterday, especially talking with Chris Miles about this situation. That was huge, and it gave me a new perspective, honestly, on Peterson and just how this kind of like creatine gate or the gatotine. I don't know how to put it together.
We can work on this, Sean. We can workshop this. We might get there.
We workshop the other guys. We can workshop this. We're going to be okay. I'm not saying it's been put to bed, but it, like you're saying, is that I think he understood college is not the end goal. He understands that there's an NBA career ahead of him, and that taking care of myself now and making sure that everything's okay, even if it might hit, you know, my draft stock a little bit, it's ultimately going to be fine, especially if he's that kind of guy, like you're saying, that alpha, that guy that in the room, when he and DeBanza were playing together, it sounded like he was the guy in that room together. And that's the kind of guy you want on your team. That's the kind of guy you want leading your team. And from what I understand, defensively, shooting, like all of these things, he's checking boxes. And I understand that, you know, DeBanza physically is a freak, but that doesn't necessarily translate to absolute production. And I think it's important to understand that going forward for the Wizards, especially in this process. And I think they're playing great. They're playing close to the chest. They are not, you know, saying, oh, we need this or we don't need that, or please talk to us about this. They're playing it perfectly. I mean, days away, I still don't know what's going to happen. I love it.
Sean, let me ask you this. Would you be disappointed if they drafted DeBanza over Peterson or Peterson over DeBanza? Do you have a preference as a fan, or is it just, hey, you're going to trust in the decision they make?
I trust in the decision making. I think that with the way that they've done everything, drafting wise, bringing in Trae Young, bringing in Davis, prove it kind of deals and or, you know, lower kind of, money forward kind of deals with these guys. I'm okay with either. It's I think that with the coach that we have too, I think Deep is the kind of guy that can bring out the best in these young players, which he's already done with Sarr, with Carrington, with George, with Riley. I mean, I trust this system regardless of who they pick, but I do think that there's less weight when it comes to the creatine gate, if you will.
Creatine gate works, Sean. I think we're going to go with that. I've decided. Okay. I think I can agree with that.
I'm okay with it. I defer to you, one of the other guys.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Sean. And by the way, the conversation with Chris Miles that Sean referenced that Zabe and I had yesterday, we are going to play that later in the show today, too. I think at 2, because there's a lot of good meat in there, and Chris Miles is very plugged in. And, listen, I think what Sean just brought up there is a really good point, right? Like, we don't know, and there is a level of trust that you obviously have to have with what the front office is going to do. Because here's the thing. Again, I mention this a lot, and I mention it for a reason. They come from the Oklahoma City Thunder mindset and mentality of how to build a team, and we see that that's worked, and we see that that's certainly been successful for the Thunder that's there. But also, too, this is these guys' jobs. Like, you think we're sitting here with the questions and the worry of, like, if you really care about who the Wizards are going to draft, if you really have a passion for one guy or the other, or a reason why you love DeBanza more than you love Peterson, or the other way around, whatever the case is, what do you think the pressure is and the mindset and all the little details that Michael Winger and Will Dawkins and everybody else are working through, the coaching staff, everybody? This matters. This is the most important decision that everybody in the organization, from ownership all the way down, everybody involved, a small part, big part, whatever, this is the most important decision that they are all going to make for this Wizards era, period. Because after this, it's all about building forward with what you got. But this is the number one overall pick. This is the draft that has been as hyped as any draft has been and may end up being one of, if not the greatest draft classes of all time in the NBA. That is the amount of talent that we have in this draft. Now, obviously, that remains to be seen, how everybody's careers turn out. But that's in terms of where we are, what we can see. We can only operate what we got in front of us right now. The talent is through the roof in this draft. From franchise altering to the depth of this draft, whatever the case is, wherever it is you're picking, there is talent everywhere in this draft. Everything, every goal for the Wizards was to be ready for this draft class, and they could not have gotten luckier getting the number one overall pick. You cannot screw it up. And that is where some of the risk might be in terms of public perception or PR or whatever you want to look at it as. That's where the risk is of taking Peterson over DeBanza. Because if you draft AJ Abanza, everybody goes, well, that makes sense. Fans, media, people that casually pay attention to this, they don't care about that, though, to a point. But they do want to deliver a team that people are excited about. So don't think that it's at least not in the back of their mind of, okay, like that's not going to deter them. If everybody in the Wizards looks and says, Darren Peterson is our guy, they don't care that you want AJ Abanza. But what they do care is that you're going to see in their minds, if that's the decision they make, that Darren Peterson was the right choice, and they believe that they'll be able to show you that that's the case, if that makes sense. So that's really where the only risk truly lies. It's not physically with Darren Peterson. It's definitely not mentally. It's definitely not his competitiveness. It's certainly not his skill set. It's just whether you think that that higher upside that could potentially be there with Darren Peterson is actually the case. And that's why all these other conversations are being had with everybody else, from old coaches to old teammates to people, just everybody. You got to get to know the person. You got to get to know the competitor. It's not just what they can do on the court and what film shows you and all of that. It's far beyond that. Because if you pass on AJ Abanza and he has a significantly better career than Darren Peterson, you're screwed, right? But if it ends up being like, okay, we can debate 5 years down the road who the better player is and it's neck and neck, you're fine. Like, and that's really the best, that's probably the best case scenario. And I would argue the most likely scenario is that AJ Abanza and Darren Peterson maybe just both have great careers. And the Jazz and Wizards are both happy with whoever it is that they end up with.
Best case scenario is Jazz and Wizards in the finals in 2 years.
Oh, you stop it.
That's
best
case scenario.
Don't you tempt me with a good time. See, this is what I love, Metal Chris, is you come always jumping from the top rope with something crazy that I haven't even thought of yet, and I love that. And in 2 years, too, you gave that a short amount of time.
Yeah, hey, look, Wimby's already there.
Well, that's true. Yeah, but it's been, Wimby's 22, so it's been, what, 3 years, 4 years? How long has he been in the league? Three or four now?
Yeah, something like that.
Something
but
like
my
that,
point is, in a couple of years here.
I know what you mean. I know.
Could be 3 years, whatever, but if we see those two guys facing off in the finals, that would be the ideal scenario here.
Well, here's the thing. AJ Abanza and Darren Peterson's careers are always going to be compared, and they're both talking about how they think they should be the number one overall pick. They both care that they could be the number one overall pick.
I feel like it's a Jordan Bird, Magic Johnson Bird situation where it's like, you're going to be good with whoever you get.
I think that's the most likely scenario, but I also do agree that like these guys are going to be rivals, so get ready. And the NBA needs this. The NBA's kind of lost for a while, and again, I've said this, it's starting to come back, right? Team rivalries, player rivalries, it feels different. This new era coming in the NBA is not what we've seen before. It's not this last, like, everybody wants to team up. The NBA's made it harder to do that, but the NBA has now gotten to a point where you're starting to see this level of competitiveness with the new wave of players coming in that saw the criticism that all these other guys that were just teaming up and making super teams for a while got and saying, I don't want to be that way. Darren Peterson and AJ Abanza will be rivals, and they will be compared. And I will say this, though. I know you joked about the finals to a point. We've seen these quick turnarounds with teams, and I keep talking about this with the Wizards, and I do it for a reason, because it is possible. This team should be a 40-something win team this year. They should. First off, the 17 wins is not actually a real picture of the talent that's on this roster. And I know now the Trae Young thing and the contract and how that's going to go and whether you think that's a good idea or a bad idea, which we'll get to, there's a lot of stuff that's still in flux. But again, we've seen these jumps. We watched the Pistons triple their win total the first year the J.B. Bickerstaff took over of that team. We've watched the Spurs go from 34 to 62 wins. We've watched the Thunder go from, I think it was like 24 to 40 to 57. Like, these jumps happen with young teams that get that level of experience, and it just, that was a bad snap. It clicks, right? It clicks for them. And that's what really needs to happen for the Wizards now is, okay, it's about, you've had gotten some experience, you're developing some of that chemistry, and now you're going to move forward and start focusing on actually winning games, finding your best rotation, getting, you know, the depth chart, everything, just getting the lineup and where you want it to be, because the Wizards were just, it was just everybody playing everywhere last year. It was all still an experiment. There was a reason for that experiment, but it was still an experiment. You can't be experimenting constantly. There will be to a point, but you can't do that constantly with this team. You got to get to a point where you know what your starting five looks like. You know what it looks like coming off the bench when everybody's healthy, and there's going to be some injuries, and you got all that. Alex Sarr's foot injury, question. It's going to take a while before we have any answers to that, obviously. He just had the surgery. But these are the types of things now that will help this team go from number one overall pick, worst record in the NBA, as designed, to now it should at least be a play-in team, which You need to get to last year or this past season. Are we still saying this season? Are we saying next season? We're going to still say this season because we haven't crossed over past the draft. So we're going to say this past season.
The season is over. The finals are over. That's the end of the season.
So is that when we're transitioning over? I've had this conversation about the NFL, and it's the same thing. It's like, when do we start saying last season for the season we just went through versus this season? So the finals are over, but the draft is not here. We're technically not in the start of the new league year yet in the NBA, so technically it's still this season.
But the season is over.
But the season is over, see?
Yeah.
Now we're playing the semantics game, and it's very difficult, and I don't have an answer for you. So we're going to say this past season that just occurred, the season that the Wizards won 17 games, that is now done, and the goals are obviously different here now. But we'll see. I mean, this really could come down to, and remember too, and I will just throw this out there and leave it at this, nobody knew the Magic were taking Paolo Banchero except the Magic and then Shams right before the draft. It was never about Paolo Banchero, number one overall, and then he was. We've had surprises at number one before. Go back and look at Elton Brand getting taken by the Bulls in 99. No one saw that. It was Steve Francis or it was Lamar Odom the entire time was the conversation. Then it was Elton Brand when it was all said and done. On a worse situation, Anthony Bennett, 2013 by the Cavs. No one saw that. No one predicted it at all. One of the worst number one overall picks ever. I'm sure they'd love to have it back, but we do have surprises at number one. So there is a chance that Darren Peterson is absolutely the number one overall pick, or the Jazz just say, oh my God, we're so desperate. Please, we love A.J. DeBonza, trade down with us. Which would be the best for the Wizards. Because then you could get Peterson. Then you could get somebody else. I keep throwing Ace Bailey out because that was the rumor. I get it. It was an internet rumor, but bear with me. And maybe another pick. Just bring in all the assets. Let's just collect them.
We had a caller on the last show say they hope they trade down to 3 for Ja Morant and then draft Boozer.
Oh, I'm out. I'm out on that. That's
yeah,
a
it does not
idea.
Seem like a great
Ja
plan
Morant,
to me either.
No, this team does not have the culture to absorb Ja Morant's immaturity. Uh-uh. And let me tell you something. When Ja Morant was coming out of college at Murray State, I was like, this kid,
as hell to watch.
And he was so good. And I kept saying, honestly, the Grizzlies are in the best spot because they don't have the responsibility of having to draft Zion, who's going to deal with injuries. I remember this so vividly. I kept saying, like, the Grizzlies are in the better spot. Ja Morant will have the better career. Little did I know there was an immaturity there that was going to get in the way. But again, sometimes you can see that coming, sometimes you can't. And doesn't mean Ja Morant still can't have a great career, but he definitely needs a fresh start. He needs to go to a place that has a lot more veterans, that has a lot more maturity within the locker room, within the organization. He needs to go to a culture that's more established. This is too young.
I also think after the Gilbert Arena stuff, they ain't messing with a guy that's got gun issues.
You are absolutely right, my friend. It would never happen. It would never happen. But listen, Cam Boozer is going to have a really good career. And again, the behind the scenes has been more about with scouts and people around the draft. It has not been A.J. DeBonza. It's been Darren Peterson. And I know, like, there are times where people will have, like, I've had conversations with these people, and it's like, what do you think about Darren Peterson or A.J. DeBonza? And it's no. Cam Boozer. So people will offer up Cameron Boozer as a name to talk about when it's not even part of the conversation. This draft is so deep, and it's so talented. Like, we could have,
I mean, people want Acuff. There's all kinds of talent in this draft.
Right. Acuff is interesting because, you know, he could be a huge scoring punch for a team. He doesn't play a lot of defense, but you can build your team around. Again, look at the Knicks. We know Jalen Brunson's a defensive liability. And Karl Anthony Towns for most of the time was, until we started to see some flashes in the playoffs and the finals. But, like, they built that team around the deficiencies there with guys that can defend. Right? You add a big that can protect the rim. They had in Mitchell Robinson. They have their wings in OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges. So they were found ways to kind of pick that up. If somebody drafts a guy that's a great score but can't defend, you have to add other pieces that'll kind of help with that, especially if you get a major scoring punch. Yeah, Darius Acuff, I mean, he's compared to like Stephon Marbury. Peak Stephon Marbury was fun. Didn't win championships. But
I also think getting better at defending is easier to do than, say, learning to have a good three-point shot.
Yes, effort is a big part of defense. But I will tell you this, it is becoming more of a priority. The NBA is shifting a little bit away from that peak Warriors era. Now, don't get me wrong, the Warriors were a great defensive team too in their prime. Everybody always talks about their three-point shooting and running up and down the court and all that. No, they were a really good defensive team too. But, you know, we've gone through an era in the NBA where, like, nobody defends. First off, let's stop romanticizing 90s NBA. Go back and look at those finals scores. The Spurs won one of the games in the finals against the Knicks, 80-67. All right, like, The Knicks were
that
scoring.
Was like the worst finals for scoring. Also,
I mean, no, you should go back and look at Spurs Pistons in 2003. Was that 2003? I think Spurs Pistons. Oh, it was rough. So I mean, rough scoring. There was an era where just nobody was scoring in the NBA. But I get it. We were talking like 140 to 135 on a nightly basis. That's a little bit much too. But you're going to start to see more acceptance again of the mid-range. You're starting to see that in the NBA. You're starting to see more of a emphasis on defense. And you're going to look, you're going to have some guys that are just good scorers. That's okay. You're going to have some guys that are just good defensive players. They're great role players that you have to have. That's how you build a team. And look, we all know the Wizards need to be able to play more defense. I mean, for the love of God, Bilal Coulibaly can't be the only perimeter defender that they have. They've got to have more than that. So you've got some of that there. Yeah, I know I got a break. You're the one that kept talking to me. It's your fault, Metal Chris. I know you said that in my ear. I don't care. It's fine. We break the rules on Saturdays. This is how it works. Nick Ashew on the Fan and the Team. So the report is the Wizards would take a Godfather offer and trade down. I think there's still a chance. Look, anything is on the table for this team with that number one overall pick. Nick Ashew on the Fan.
No. They're not going to trade it.
I think... Look,
you didn't execute this plan for so many years, tank all those games just to trade away the first pick.
No, you didn't
do all that for that.
To go, what if it's, again, one spot?
It doesn't matter. When you finally get the position you've worked so hard to get to, you don't just trade it away. You just don't.
Absolutely consider it for the right thing. And again, that is multiple first-round picks down the road. That's another young player, and it's really the Jazz. The Jazz are the only team I'd make a trade with. I wouldn't trade to three. I wouldn't trade to four. Not a chance. It would only be to two, and it'd be the Jazz. So again, the odds are very, very low. And as Richmond John says on Twitter, I'm at Nick Ashew on Twitter. He's a big fan of DeBonsa, which, you know, I get it, right? And he says if there's a ton of talent in this draft, the Wizards should trade back if there isn't one clear-cut stud. But he's a DeBonsa guy, and I get it. Wizards draft DeBonsa or Peterson, they're likely going to be happy, and I'm going to be happy, and I think most people are going to be happy. Whether there's like a higher degree of happiness for DeBonsa versus Peterson or the other way around, okay, and that's fair, right? Like, yes, there's going to be a player that maybe you like more, but don't look at the Kansas situation with Peterson and think that that's going to be the full story, because it's just not. But the reason why I say you at least keep an open mind with this. Let me reframe it for you slightly. Since you stirred the pot a little bit there, Metal Chris, I need to make sure I'm clear.
Who, me?
Yes, you. No, you never do such a thing. Let me ask you a question, and also you got to go to break. Thanks, Metal Chris. Like, I'm already going to get distracted enough as it is. Look, here's the thing. When I say that...
Oh, we got to go to break. Sorry.
I mean, yeah, you got to go. All right, fine. Got to go to break. Fine. Listen, when I say it again, it's only going down one spot. It's either Peterson or DeBonsa. That's who you have to take. Plain and simple. The reason why I say leave it open is because it could be a level of desperation that the Jazz have, where the owner of the Jazz, Ryan Smith, who is a BYU alum and who helped make sure that A.J. DeBonsa went to BYU. As we know, it's a lot easier to do that now with a certain level of cash and NIL. If the owner comes in and says to Danny Ainge and his son, whatever his son's name is, I can't even remember now, doesn't matter. They're running the front office. And he says, look, get me DeBonsa. It's just too good of a story. He went to BYU. I went to BYU. Great talent. Wants to be here. We got to make this happen. Face of the franchise, go get me him. Then maybe the Jazz are offering a trade last minute. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but I'm only making that trade if you're getting another young player, if you're getting a future first round pick on top of only going down one spot. So I think it's very unlikely. Yeah, of course I do. But sometimes desperation happens at the last minute of these drafts, and the Wizards are happy with either player and see a path to success with both Darren Peterson and A.J. DeBonsa, then you win. I mean, listen, again, it's also harder to wrap your head around with Jazz making that trade, because Danny Ainge was the guy with the Celtics that traded back from 1 to 3 when the Celtics jumped all the way in the draft, which wasn't their first-round pick, by the way. Traded back to 3, got Jason Tatum. Sixers were the ones that traded up. Markelle Fultz, the rest is history. So, you know, it's not like you're going to be working with some front office in Utah that like has no plan, doesn't really know what they're doing. They're like, ooh, we want the number one pick. Like, it's not going to work that way. They've got a team that's been building the way the Wizards really have too. The Jazz are also operating on a similar blueprint as the Wizards. They're trying to do what the Spurs have done and the Thunder have done. And it's not apples to apples because there have been some trades. There's some more veterans. The Wizards are younger than the Jazz. But you kind of get the idea that I'm building here. So it's not out of the realm of possibility if you have an owner swoop in and say, hey, go get me DeBonsa. Then maybe that opportunity's there. But the reality is, and this is why it was so important for the Wizards to have that number one pick, they're in full control of this draft. They're in full control of their own destiny. They can do whatever they want, whatever they think's best for the franchise. Once that NBA draft officially starts and that clock starts ticking down to the number one overall pick, and when they've got to turn that pick in, they have full control. And if they like both Peterson and Abonsa, and let's just operate that hypothetical that both Darren Peterson and A.J. DeBonsa have Hall of Fame careers. You just lucked out. And you have, like, there, it's a win-win situation if that's the case. Now, we don't have a crystal ball. We can't see it in the future. No time machine. But if you came back from the future right now and you're like, Nick, I got an answer for you. Both A.J. DeBonsa and Darren Peterson both win league MVPs at one point, and they both win championships. I'd believe it. Like, they're supposed to be that good. We've seen the talent there. I mean, DeBonsa led the country in scoring it as a freshman. He averaged over 25 points a game. He's a bucket. And I know, look, you look at Darren Peterson's number, it's like maybe not as much. He can go out and get 25 a game too if he wants to. But again, you have to decide. But don't look at it if you're the Wizards and don't say, oh, well, you know, yeah, they need more of a, you know, they need more of that wing versus somebody that's going to be a lead guard, and somebody might be a combo guard in some aspects. And Darren Peterson, don't look at roster fit, collect talent. You're not in a position if you're the Wizards where you need to worry about roster fit with a draft pick. Do you need to find everybody's fit and rotation and starting lineup and all that and really solidify that this year? Yes. But you don't need to do that in the draft. It's just who you think is going to be the best player, period. That's it. And look, because of the pressure, because of the expectations, because of everything that's riding on this pick, this is why teams, and this happens across the board. It's not like it's just the Wizards that have this pressure. It's just the brightest spotlight on them right now. But again, it was the same thing with the Commanders. And that number seven pick, it was like, did they trade down? Do they trade up? Do they draft a defensive player? Do they draft an offensive player? The difference with that is there were a lot more options because there were two sides of the football you needed help on. Trading down in the NFL draft has a little more value, especially in that draft. It's not the same in terms of, like, it was deep and there was a level of talent, but there wasn't, like, high-end super talent like you're looking at in the NBA draft. So there were more options for the Commanders, and they stayed put, and they drafted the guy that I think was the perfect fit for them. They've got their quarterback of the defense in Sonny Styles, hopefully. But if you're the Wizards, it's a different spot, right? You're not going to be trade. Oh, they could trade down five spots. That's not happening. Now, are there going to be other trades in this draft? Yeah, there's going to be a lot of movement. But for the Wizards, it's one or two, probably staying at one, and it's down to DeBonsa and Peterson. And look, I'm happy with either one of them. Both of them could have a chance to have a Hall of Fame career. It's just, don't just buy into the shiny object, which is the hype for just DeBonsa in this, and thinking that there's nobody else. Because it's closer than you might think. They are different players in a lot of ways, but it's closer than you actually think. And we may not know, barring some Shams report, because he's the only one that does this anymore now, it seems like, where he spoils it for us. Also, I will not be looking at my phone right before that pick. I don't want alerts. I don't want Twitter. I don't want anything. I just want to see it, and I want to react to that actual pick, which we will have a Game Day Garage stream live for that on YouTube, Twitch, and X for the NBA draft. So you can check that out as well. Nick Ashew on The Fan and the Team.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.